BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. So glad that you could join us for another week of broadcast here on VCY, and would encourage you to be joining us throughout the course of the week here. Tomorrow, for instance, we do have the infamous anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and we're going to be delving into that issue and certainly standing for life. Brad Mattis will be with us from the Life Issues Institute and discussing a number of matters as it pertains to life itself and such critical times in which we live. We saw the March for Life take place in Washington, D.C., and you never know that it happened, according to a lot of the media across this land. But, folks, indeed it has, and much going on as it relates to that matter, the struggle for life. So please plan to join us on Tuesday's program for Crosstalk as Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute will join us as it pertains to this topic of life and as we observe the sanctity of human life on this anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a time of great skepticism and outright disdain for biblical Christianity. There are those who will mock and ridicule biblical beliefs, and for many believers, they just curl up in their cocoon never to share absolute truth as found in God's Word. And yet others we meet have legitimate questions, but we fall short of being bold and presenting an apologetic for the very issues that we're facing in society today. Our guest today has devoted his life and ministry so that believers know the truth, that they live it, and that they are equipped to share it. Joining us today in Crosstalk, we welcome back Carl Kirby, the president and founder of Reasons for Hope. Prior to forming Reasons for Hope, he was a founding board member of Answers in Genesis, served there for some 15 years. Carl is also a former air traffic controller at Chicago O'Hare. He is a co-creator and host for the video series Weapons of Mass Destruction, and presenter of the DVD series for teens, Demolishing Strongholds. He's author of Remote Control, The Power of Hollywood and Today's Culture, Absolutely Positively, The Best Evidence for Creation, and Reasons for Hope in the Mosaic of Your Life. Carl, welcome back to Crosstalk.
Mr. Jim Snyder, you give me such a warm welcome. I appreciate you, sir.
Carl, we're going to get into this topic of apologetics today. Know it, live it, share it. But apologetics is a big word. What do we mean by that? I mean, I've heard people say, I'm not going to apologize for anything.
I hear you. We say that we are unapologetic apologetics. And what that literally means is it's really simple. It just means being able to give an answer why you believe what you say you believe. It truly comes down to that simple of a statement.
Why you believe what you say you believe. And
yeah,
you were actually introduced to apologetics by a couple of pilots. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was flying out to Oregon to see my dad, and I was a newly saved person. I was passionate, and I was sharing the Lord. And I started sharing the Lord with these two pilots, and it was very interesting. They brought up the creation and evolution topic, and I just told them what my first Sunday school teacher had told me, which was you take evolution, you put it in the Bible, God used it, God directed it, and no problems. And that's all I knew. And boy, the co-pilot, he kind of stiffened up and started twitching a little bit, and he looked over at the pilot, and then he just looked back at me and said, Carl, I'm sorry, but that's incorrect. And I was like, well, why is that? And he did what I tell people I'm eternally thankful for. He took the Bible out. He had it in his case next to his seat there. He opened it to Genesis. He went through the sequence in Genesis 1 and said, okay, this is what the Scripture says. This is what the world teaches. Scripture, world, Scripture. He said, those two histories aren't the same, and they can't both be right. And I was blown out of the water. And he introduced me to a book called The Lie Evolution by Ken Ham. And I'd never heard of creation. I'd never heard of Ken Ham. I'd never heard of ICR at that time. When I got back to Salt Lake City where I got saved, I ordered that book, and when I started reading it, it was one of those things that I didn't stop. I just read it straight through in one night. And that was the first time I ever heard you could use the Bible as real history. It wasn't just good spiritual and moral teachings. No, it was real stuff. And that, boy, that changed my whole faith.
Well, Carl, you actually go around and you speak to a lot of churches, you speak to a lot of groups. If you were making a State of the Church address today on the ability to biblically respond to the issues of our day with confidence, how would you describe the State of the Church?
Oh, gosh, you're going to get me in trouble, because I don't see it, for the most part, being that good. I think too many people are intimidated. They're nervous because, well, I don't like science. I didn't like science. I don't understand science, or, you know, that's just not my thing. I'm like, man, I'm the son of a professional wrestler. If you want to talk about people that shouldn't be able to answer these things, I'm that candidate. I'm just a simple guy. But it's not necessarily to me about intelligence. It's about obedience. So I would say that the state of the church is that very few, and this is after doing a lot of interviews and asking just basic questions. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about life from the further star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? What about a global flood? Where'd the water come from? Where'd the water? You ask Christians those questions, and I tell folks, you get what I call carp face, and any fisherman will know what I mean by that. You pull a carp out of the water and look at it, and just its mouth opens and shuts at you, and I'm like, that's what I see for the most part with Christians when asked questions about their faith. But in all fairness, I see the same thing with non-Christians when you push back against them, because what I'm finding is that almost everybody believes something, but very few can give answers why they believe what they say they believe, which is apologetics, giving that answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you, with meekness and fear.
What do you mean by meekness and fear?
Gentleness and respect is another way that it is translated, and it's humility. Look, we have nothing. As Christians, look, I got nothing that's worth anything apart from God. And so when I run into somebody who may be antagonistic, may be angry, yes, I have emotions, and yes, I have an ego that will definitely hear it go up in the back of my neck, and I better run and hide somewhere because I'm no good when that happens. But I need to look at that individual the way that Christ looked at that individual, and that is, he loved them enough while they were rejecting him to come and die for him. Gentleness isn't just being a puppy dog rolling over on your belly just to scratch your belly when somebody stronger than you comes up. No, gentleness is basically respecting, but firm respect. And there's nothing to be ashamed of as a Christian. You can stand firmly on the Word of God, give an answer, understanding that people are going to reject. But I would guarantee you the vast majority of times that they reject, it's not because of evidence. It's because of an interpretation of evidence, because Christians and non-Christians have the same evidence. We just look at it from a different perspective.
Carl Kirby, our guest here today from Reasons for Hope. Carl, as it relates to apologetics and defending the faith, you have a desire for people to know it, to live it, to share it. And I'd like to break each of these points down. Let's begin with know it. What do we need to know? What is the it we need to know?
Well, thank you for doing that, because to me they are so important. Know it just means that the basic of apologetics, knowing why you believe what you say you believe. When we say that we believe the Bible is the Word of God, why do we believe that? Have we really looked into some basics on, is the Bible trustworthy? It's a very common question that, you know, you can't trust the Bible. It's just full of all these mistakes and errors. Have you ever really gone and looked at any of those supposed mistakes and errors and kind of fleshed them out? We believe that Jesus is God. He came and died on a cross. Have we ever studied? Is there any evidence for a God? So to me, that know it component is just basic Christianity. Instead of being very superficial and, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, what do you mean by Christian? Because I hear a lot of people that claim to be Christians, and then I look at their lives, and there's no fruit to show that. And I'm not going to judge hard, because I can't do that. I'm not God. But when we know why we believe what we say we believe, when we know that when God says he truly is going to judge sin and there is a place called hell that people are going to spend eternity there, it is going to change the way that we live our lives. It's going to change the way that we respond to others. So knowing why we believe what we say we believe in basic Christian doctrine.
And how do we get that knowledge? I mean, what do we do? How do we obtain it? How do we get this information?
Prayerfully, you've got a church that's preaching the Word of God and breaking it down. I personally love expositional preaching, where somebody just comes in, takes the Word of God, breaks it down, each word. This is what this word means. This is how this applies. But using exegesis instead of eisegesis, taking and looking at Scripture and interpreting it with Scripture. So prayerfully, mm-hmm. the first place you're going to get that is in a good Bible-believing church that's just preaching and teaching the Word of God. Second place could be in a small group, a home group, home study, but it's back into the Word. I mean, the only place you're going to get this is to get into the Word, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what Paul told Timothy, too, didn't he? To study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed of rightly dividing the Word of truth.
Exactly. I mean, every one of these methods that I would tell you is, it's going to start with getting in the Word. Now, if that means that you're getting into it in the church setting, or if you're getting into it in the home setting, or if you're getting into it to a personal study, a one-on-one study, it is going to take mm-hmm. getting into the Word, opening it up, and not just reading it to read it, but to read it to study it, to understand what is teaching in light of the Scripture itself, using the Scripture to interpret Scripture, as I said.
Well, the second point, a part of your prong of your ministry here, is not only knowing it, but living it. What do you mean by that?
Boy, I've been in apologetics for a long time, and I've just been around guys that they can beat you up all day long with their IQ and very impressive, but let's be honest, man, if you can have all the answers in the world, but if you're not living a life that is in obedience to what God is teaching, if your lips aren't consistent with what your life says, there's a problem there. And so what I mean by living it is truly living out what God has commanded us to do, having that answer. But when I deliver that answer, how am I doing it? Am I doing it in a way to win an argument? Because if I am, I'm not doing it the way that God said to do it. If I'm doing it to demean somebody, to break somebody down, I'm not doing it the way that God said to do it. So make sure that your life is in sync with what you say you believe, in sync with what the Word of God teaches how we're supposed to live.
The third leg of the stool is that of sharing it. Are you saying we need to have a forum where we can share with large groups of people, or is it more personal than that?
You know, this is one of the things that I believe, to me, is if you could put an importance on any one of the three, I don't think you could. I think they are all equally important, quite frankly, and dependent on each other to be totally effective. But the share it component is not just large groups. It is, look, God has placed each and every one of us in a position where we are ministers of the gospel, either in a good way or a bad way, sometimes as a truck driver, sometimes as an administrative assistant, sometimes as a former air traffic controller, sometimes as a radio host. Every one of us have been uniquely prepared and placed somewhere to reach someone. I put it like this, Mr. Jim, you're going to meet and reach folks that will never listen to me.
Right.
But I'm going to meet and reach folks that will never listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so our ministry is where the Lord has placed us. And that's in our vocations. That's in ministry sometimes. That's as a missionary sometimes. But I guarantee you this, when you're sitting down and eating at a restaurant, you're a missionary there. You've got a waitress that can come up that you can love on, that you can share the gospel with in a loving, kind way. That you could pray for when you check into hotels, as I did today. Am I talking to that person behind the counter as an employee, or am I talking to them as a child of God or a potential child of God? So it's everywhere you go.
Carl Kirby with us today. We're going to take a quick 60-second break. Our topic today, apologetics, know it, live it, share it. And folks, we're going to tell you about some opportunities about knowing it, okay? We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can we see any other galaxies with the naked eye?
Yes, we can, Chris. We can see a few stars that seem somewhat fuzzy. With telescopes, we see that these fuzzy stars are really galaxies, each containing billions of stars. And with super telescopes, we can see billions and billions of galaxies. The universe seems to have no end. And that's what we read in Scripture. Jeremiah mentioned that the host of heaven cannot be numbered. Yet scholars were certain there was only about 3,000 stars. Looks like the Bible was right and the scholars were wrong. I suspect that that's true even today. Those who claim it all happened by a big bang are wrong. It's the back to Genesis truth of creation which stands the test of science.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Carl Kirby is our guest today, president and founder of Reasons for Hope. And our topic today is that of apologetics, to know it, to live it, to share it. Carl, just before the break, you were going into all these venues of life, that, you know, whether one be an administrative assistant or a radio broadcast announcer or one who's an auto mechanic or whatever. But I'd like you to hit on another one of those important aspects of this know, live, and share, and that is the role that many have been given as parent.
Yes. Boy, what a privilege it is to be a parent, to have children. It's a huge undertaking. It's a huge responsibility, and man, it is tough in this world today with the average young person spending 900 hours a year in school, and so many of the Christian homes having their children in government schools that are teaching them to think like the world, and that's being reinforced with 1,064 hours of TV and 936 hours a year playing video games. Parent, let me please lovingly challenge you. Do not let the world take over the training and educating and teaching of your children without your involvement. You've got to be involved. And I won't tell you where to educate. I have my own belief on that. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you abdicate that responsibility to anybody, you're going to have some serious issues. You need to be involved in that process. And so parenting, to me, is the greatest challenge that we have, especially in this culture and the way that we, our poor children are just under attack. They're under attack now more than any time in history. But parents can do it. It's going to take time. It's going to take involvement. But there are ways to do it, to just engage them. Get them into places where they can apply their faith, not just memorize. That memorization without application is not as effective as I believe it could be. Get them into places where they can apply their faith in this world, learning how the scripture applies to this in everyday life.
And we find also that parents don't have an 8-to-5 job as far as it relates to parenting.
Yeah.
And Deuteronomy 6 is just such a classic passage about, you know, talking about things of God when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you walk by the way. And that's the aspect of knowing, living, and sharing it that parents can have upon their children, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the rising up and the lying down. And boy, that's a full-time position. So find creative ways to do that. I mean, with my children, we were ones that we had and still have a TV, and we watch TV shows. But I made sure that when we watched something, when we were done watching, we were talking about it. So we would go to a movie, and we would watch a movie. And on the drive home from the movie, I would engage them. Did you catch this? Did you catch that? Now, I did my research before we went to movies and made sure that, you know, there were things that we could talk about. But even in that, there's applications that where you can teach your child to be a critical thinker with whatever they're letting into their lives, through their eyes or their ears. You can teach them to do that and turn it. My son's 34 now. We go to a movie today, and it's a game. Who can catch the messages first? And we come out, and we have great conversations over teachings that were in there and how we can now take that and apply that and teach somebody else how to critically evaluate.
Carl, you actually have, through your ministry, Reasons for Hope, you've got some opportunities for people to know it. One such opportunity is coming up Saturday, April 6th at the Chicago Field Museum. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, this is so fun. We've done this about 5 times now. We rent a room in the Chicago Field Museum, and we bring people in. And we train. It goes from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. It's a full day. We train, we teach, and then we go up into the exhibits and apply. And I was actually working before you all called. I'm working on the brand new handbook because we're changing the whole presentation this year to try to go more in line with the Evolving Planet exhibit. We want to teach people specifically so as they go through there, they can have 4 or 5 talking points that they in the future can then lead their families as a minimum, but hopefully other people through to teach them how to critically evaluate. But we're in the world because we need to look, our tax dollars, when I lived in Illinois, my tax dollars went towards supporting the Chicago Field Museum. So why should we not go in there, use their exhibits? I don't have to put words in their mouth that way, and I'm not building up a straw man. This is what they actually teach. This is what we actually see, and this is what the Word of God says. I can't find any better way to teach somebody than to really take them out into the world and show them what's being taught, and then how the Word of God actually deals with it, and then what we actually see. To me, this is the perfect classroom is that Chicago Field Museum.
Now, you actually believe it's important for people to know how to think, not what to think. Tell us what you mean by that.
boy, I mean, think about it. I mean, I don't know about you, Mr. Jim, but the way I was raised, I was taught what to think. You will do this, 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 and then you're okay because you do this, 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 and you don't do this, 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 or this. And yes, that's great that we're getting people to act right, but God wants the inside. He wants the whole heart, mind, soul, strength. And when all you know to do is to act a certain way, what happens when somebody confronts you with something else that it totally changes everything that you've known and you don't know how to deal with it? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, you can just reject blindly, and then, oh, yeah, you're just a closed-minded, intolerant, bigoted, opinionated dick. You don't have a reason why you believe. So that will shut us down. Or you can truly start doubting what you say you believe because you don't know why you believe it. It's just, well, that's the way I was raised. And I'm telling you right now, that will not work with this younger generation. You go tell this generation you will believe this. Why? Because I said so? They'll laugh at you. No way. But when you teach a generation how to work through issues, how to work through problems, by, like I say, real-world application, going to the museum, this is what they say, here's how we deal with it. Now I see, boy, I've got younger generation. I've got 20s and unders that are coming up to me on a regular basis now. It's so encouraging, saying, I'm in college now, and those sessions that I had with you are so impacting because now I'm listening, and I'm critically thinking, and I'm going and getting a second opinion, and I'm doing all these things that you taught us to do through those types of presentations. And it's just a perfect way of teaching people how to apply their faith in the real world.
So this event's coming up on Saturday, April 6th, the location, Chicago Field Museum. What age group is this designed for?
You know, I would say that you probably want to be about 11 and up because it is a full day. We're in the classroom. I'm even bringing in Andrew Favich this time. Andrew's a dear buddy of mine. He's a professor at Truett McConnell. He's going to come in. Ken Funk is a local gentleman there with the Midwest Creation Fellowship Group, and he's going to come in and he's going to do a segment on life. When does life begin? And boy, that I don't want to take away what he's going to hit is so good. So, and I've even got, this is fun. There's a group that I ran into speaking at a camp. It's a band called Ready for Rain, and they're young kids, you know, a couple college kids and then high school kids, and they just recorded their first album at Ricky Skaggs' studio. It's like they're a folk type music, and they're coming up, and they're actually singing in the Chicago Field Museum for an hour and a half on the main stage, but they're coming up because of this, and so we're going to have them lead us in some worship before we get started in the morning. It's a family thing. I'd say 11 and up, you wouldn't go wrong with that.
So, and teens and adults.
Oh, absolutely. You better believe that. I'll be honest with you, Mr. Jim, if I could get to the stage where I had nothing but youth groups in there, I would do this on a weekly basis to get the teens, because I am just seeing such an excitement when these guys see the fact that they can trust the Word of God completely and totally. Now, I love the adults. I love the parents. Don't get me wrong. But, boy, I want that next generation.
Yeah, and how is it our listeners can get more information on that April event?
If they go to our website, which is just rforh.com, and then they go to the store, they'll see a tag there for the Chicago Field Museum training, and that's got the times and everything. I think I've got about 50 spots left, I think is what we're at, 45, something like that. We want to keep it small enough that we can still have, you know, one-on-one time with folks, but yeah, if people want to do it, just go to rforh.com. And go to the store and look for the Chicago Field Museum.
Okay, again, folks, that's the website for Reasons for Hope. The letter R, spell out four, FORH.com, R4H.com. Click on store for more information on that. Carl, you also have another opportunity where people can know it, and that is you're leading a dinosaur fossil dig in Montana this July.
Man, I got to tell you, this is about the fourth time I've done this one, too. Because, again, I think when we show folks that, oh, dinosaurs, they prove the Earth is millions of years old. Have you ever really gone out to the dinosaur field and dug one and taken a look at how you find them, the condition that they're in, the whole sequence around there? Have you looked at that? And that's not something that most people have ever done. So I said, well, let's go do it. We found a place out there. Robert Kanan's the head of the Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum. They're great folks. Even if people are ever just driving through there, go look at their museum. They do a fantastic job. But We work with them because they've got the property out there. They've got the connections. It's really hard to find property that you'd be allowed to dig on, because most of it out there is government-owned and private-owned, and boy, they're not going to let you get on their land to dig. So these folks have been there. Otis Klein was there for a long time, and he's turned it over to Robert. But so they've got the connections. We get out, we dig. The bones that we find, you get to learn how to prepare them. That's something new that we added. So we go back into the shop, and now they learn how to put the bones together, glue them back together. You learn that whole process, and you see it from beginning to end. And then we're teaching as well about, what does the scripture say? What do we actually see? Is it consistent with the word, or is it consistent with what the world teaches?
Yeah, because
so it's, again, application.
Some would say you're shooting yourself in the foot by going on a dinosaur dig. I mean, scientists tell us that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. And Carl, I've seen your materials and your talks about dinosaurs and the earth and the stars all being but thousands of years old, not millions.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you one example from the first trip that I ever took that we filmed and turned into that video that you talked about, that weapons of mass instruction. We believe that if you learn how to think biblically, you can walk into any zoo, any museum, any aquarium across this globe, and you can turn them into creation museums, creation zoos, and creation aquariums using the exhibits that the world has. But when we were out in that very first dinosaur dig filming that video, it's a 20-minute video, it's a TV show, actually, a pilot, we found a petrified log that was embedded in the Hell Creek Formation, which is where many of the dinosaur bones are found. There are in other layers as well. But Hell Creek Formation is really famous, and it's only exposed on a small section of the planet. Well, this petrified log is embedded in Hell Creek Formation, which is supposedly 68 to 70 million years old by the evolutionary model, which we need to know better than the world. When we looked at that log, the inside of it was totally petrified. The top part was about 95% petrified. We flipped it over. I literally flipped this thing over. There was an inch of wood, organic material, wood. You could still burn it. Now, how does wood last 68 million years and not rot?
Hmm.
So to me, I say, look, we don't have an evidence problem. We have an interpretation of evidence problem. They say it's millions of years old. I say, no, it's not millions of years old. Which one would better explain finding wood, organic material, in this layer of rock? I think the one that says that maybe it's not millions of years old explains it better.
Well, Carl, I saw, too, on your dinosaur dig that you have in July. Last I looked, you had just but a few spots left open on that dig coming up in early July.
Yes, sir. It's getting that, because I keep that real small. I actually can take more people than I take, but I have found that when I keep it smaller, it's much more personal. I don't want the one-on-one time on this one. This is I only take, I think it's 15 is what I keep it to, because, yeah, I think it is 15. Forgive me for not knowing that right off the top of my head, but I keep it small because I want, when we get done, we're still able to knee-to-knee, eye-to-eye have conversations, because this is 2.5-3 days of, to me, I am trying honestly to mentor, to disciple future people, because I'm on the downhill slide, man. I'm getting to that stage where I know I got about 5-10 more years of doing ministry if the Lord tarries. But boy, I want somebody stepping up and running with the ball. So that's going to require some one-on-one discipleship time, and that's one of those times for me.
Again, folks, r4h.com, letter R, the word four, f-o-r-h.com. Click on store, and that'll take you to information about the dinosaur dig. We've got a few more pieces of information to share, and then we'll open up phone lines. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk.
For over 200 years, the American judicial system has upheld a standard so strong that a person's very life can be ended based on this level of confidence. It is a verdict supported by evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt. Did you know there is evidence demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that we have a creator? Most are unaware because it has been censored from textbooks. But now, you can have this information at your fingertips. In the beautifully illustrated hardcover book, Have You Considered? Evidence Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett provide a series of unique devotions presenting evidence for every day of the year that points to the creator. Evidence from biology, paleontology, botany, anatomy, and other scientific disciplines. Have You Considered is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Carl Kirby is with us today. He is president and founder of Reasons for Hope. Again, their website, r4h.com. We're talking about apologetics today, knowing it, living it, and sharing it, but that very first step is know it. Before you can live it, you have to know it. And so we're talking about some of the opportunities that their ministry is making available for you to know it. We mentioned the event that they're going to be holding at the Chicago Field Museum in April. They're having a dinosaur dig coming up in the month of July. By the way, in October, Carl is scheduled to be the speaker for the Father-Son Retreat at Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin. And Carl, I know we're looking forward to having you at this event for dads and sons, just a great weekend retreat, and having you share as well, and just challenging guys and sons.
Man, I am super excited about that. I love those opportunities that when you get the father-son thing together, boy, good things happen. So thank you for letting me do that.
Carl, let's also mention your Debunked Project. That's kind of a strange name, but what is your Debunked Project all about?
You know, I am down here in Florida right now as we speak, and we're unveiling our debunked bus and new debunked videos. And what that is essentially, you know, from all the years of traveling, when I start off in a camp, typically with the youth, I'll hand out index cards and say, write down the questions that are keeping you from selling out, turn them in, because that's what we're going to deal with the rest of the week. And then I try to build my presentations about those questions, comments, et cetera. Well, that turned into debunked. And so we've now got 9 debunked. I mean, we go from how they fit all the animals on the boat, you can't trust the Bible because it's full of mistakes and errors, there's no evidence for God, to God didn't mean what he said, to, oh, truth. Hey, truth is relative. You can have your truth, my truth. Come on, bro. Nobody has truth. I mean, that's our latest one is truth. And so we're taking those statements, we're taking those questions. It's anywhere from a 3.5 to 5 minute. We try to keep it right at 4 minutes, animated, fast-paced. And I'm telling the mature folks right now, I'm going after your children and grandchildren that have a 2.2-second attention span. So they are wrapped up with a lot of information in a short amount of time. And so we're down here. We had a huge weekend this last weekend. I'm headed tomorrow to speak at Miami Christian School, 4-day emphasis, a spiritual emphasis week. But the latest debunked is there is no truth, or the truth is relative. And I'd like to offer it to the folks, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, all you got to do is take your smartphones out, and 90% of you have them, so pull it out and text the word "stay bold," all together, one word, no space, "stay bold" to 51555. Stay bold, no space, 51555. They're going to get an immediate text back that just asks for their first and last name, and when they do that, they hit that in, boom. They're going to get a link to not just the truth, but that's the latest one. That's the brand new one. They're going to have access to the other 8 debunked as well. And in the future, like next month, we're releasing the debunked that Christians shouldn't judge. Oh, really? Let's take a look at what the scripture says.
Yeah.
That's April. May, we're going to debunk, oh, it can't be a God because of all the suffering. I just listened to the audio today. Oh, my goodness, it's so good. And then in April, we're releasing, oh, there's no evidence for a resurrection, dead people can't rise. We're dealing, those are the next 3. And when you text that 51555, that stay bold, you're going to get all that we have. And then in the future, you're going to get them before we release them to the public, because we want people to have these tools in their hands so that they can know it, but then they can also live it and they can share it. And so debunked is all 3 rolled up into 1.
And folks, again, how many times have you heard this? I'm glad you found your truth. It's true for you, but it's not true for me. How do we deal with that? And this latest debunk deals with that, that issue. And again, Carl, give us it. If they text "stay bold," all is one word. Those two words put together, "stay bold" to what number?
51555, and they'll get an immediate response, just asking for first and last name, and then. Bang. They'll get the link to all the debunk. But boy, you watch that new truth one. That's been received really well so far.
Yeah. And no cost for that, correct?
No, it's all free, man. We want to put it in we want people to have tools. I mean, if folks look at it and say, hey, these are good, we need more of these, help us fund the May debunk. We're funded up through April right now, but now we got to get the May one. So if people want to donate to us, great, but no, we're giving them away, man.
R4H.com. But folks, in regard to the debunked, these 3 to 5 minute vignettes, stay bold. You text that, stay bold, to number 51555. I'd like to open our phone lines today. Maybe you've got a question for our guest today on this topic of apologetics. We've kind of gone through things very fast, knowing it, living it, sharing it, but maybe you've got questions. Maybe there's something that's just keeping you from being bold and sharing your faith because you've been stumped with something, or perhaps somebody has backed you into a corner and say, how do I deal with this? Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Now, you said that you've got a debunked bus. What is that doing?
It's a 70s model Volkswagen Beetle, so the old hippie van, you know, looking
yep,
thing.
Yep.
And, brother, it looks good. If you go to debunkedbus.com, you'll see a picture of it. And it is loaded. There's a TV in the back. We flip up the back, and my buddy Billy down here, who is phenomenal, he's built the table. You pull the table out, put an umbrella up, and the debunked, we play on the TV out of the back. We've got materials on the inside that we give to people. We're going out on the street, engaging people, asking them questions, you know, specific questions, and then we show them the debunked that deals with those questions because, you know, all their... There's no truth. Well, yeah, that's right. You can have your truth and I can have my truth. Oh, really? Can I show you a video? And then we show them the debunked video, and then we ask them again, so what do you think about that? Does that even – look, I believe getting somebody from A to Z is super-duper hard. I mean, it's just – the Holy Spirit's the only one that can do that. But he's the only one that can change anybody's mind, honestly. But how about getting somebody to go from A to B and just kind of shift their thinking, to get them to start thinking that maybe there is another way? That's what we believe debunk can do in open, honest conversations with respect, not belittling, not mocking, not ridiculing, but just having good conversations, asking questions, showing them something and seeing what they think.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Questions today on this topic of apologetics. Maybe you as a parent needing guidance, help. How do I teach this to my children, grandparents? How do I pass this on to my grandchildren? Critical issues here today. Our number, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Olney, Illinois. We have George calling. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was going to ask your guest... we use the word sorry as for to be apologizing. And Jesus, I feel, was the first one that did it seriously when he said, basically, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. He was saying, if you don't believe this, I am sorry.
I'm sorry, you broke up on me. I think I stepped on you there, and I sure didn't mean to do that. It is a very sad thing if you reject him that there is a place called hell and we can't run and hide from it, that there are going to be people that spend eternity in either one of two places, heaven or hell. And God doesn't want that. He says that he doesn't want anybody to spend spend any eternity in hell. That's why he came, died on a cross for us while we were spitting on him, rejecting him. So we had a Q&A last night, and that's one of the questions that came up about why would God do that. And I'm like, why would he send innocent people to hell? And well, first of all, there's nobody innocent. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So that's not true. He wouldn't do that. And number two, I firmly believe that he's given you an opportunity. You want to come and be with me? No, thank you. Okay. Thy will be done. You want to go to hell? You're sinning yourself. It's not his fault. God does not want that to happen. He did everything that he could to keep it from happening other than forcing you. And if he forced you, then there's no point to what we're doing right now. Yeah. So, thanks.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, man. Thank you, George.
Okay, our number 800-733-9829. Jerry is next in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jerry.
Yes, I have a question to ask. You know, speed of light is constant. So, are you saying Einstein is wrong?
I don't know Einstein. I don't even know what the speed of light is, to be quite frank with you. I would say if you've got questions on astronomy, go to a PhD astronomer like Jason Lyle, astrophysicist, I should say. Go to guys that study that area. I personally, and that's I'm going to be blunt, that's my weakest area is the astronomy area. So when people challenge me on those issues, I will tell you to go talk to people that have studied that. You've got... folks with real PhDs that are Christians that are still creationists, and they can give answers. There's guys that with ICR that have studied this, guys with the Creation Resource Society. They have got PhD astrophysicists and astronomers, and they can answer those things. But I don't know what Einstein said, so I can't tell you if he's wrong or not. If he said that the Earth is millions of years old, I'll tell you he's wrong, and that's not because of me. That's because of what God said.
Hmm. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
And, yeah, a number of great resources on that specific issue. Our number here today, 800-733-9829. Here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Carl, what is Mission 442?
Mission 442 is where we're taken, 1 Peter 3:15, being able to give that answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you, the whole apologetic thing. But apologetics, honestly, is great, but if it doesn't lead to the preaching of Jesus, it's not what it should be. And if it doesn't lead to doing something real, which is like James 1:27, taking care of what is an orphan. So if you take the 1:27 and 3:15 and add them together, I would say that what it means is that it adds up to 442. So our mission with Mission 442 is we are teaming with organizations, two of them right now. One is Operation 300, which is Men the Vaughns. If you've ever seen what they're doing, it's just unbelievable. I had the privilege of speaking at one of their camps. They're bringing the children in whose fathers have been killed in the military, or some have committed suicide, former men in the military who committed suicide because of everything that's going on. They bring those children in and run them through a camp. They bring the spouses and the former spouses in and just treat them like a queen. For about a four-day camp, and then the ladies are doing their thing. And just love on those kids with men that are just pouring into those guys and loving on them. And then the other one is a ministry out of the Philippines called Threads of Hope. And so what we do is we want people, we can't do everything. I mean, we try to do apologetics well, but boy, I can't put feet to everything else. So I'm trying to find organizations that I can work with that are like, these guys are solid. They are doing the work. You can get involved. When you help us, we're actually helping them to do ministry. So it's the combining of our faith, putting feet to it.
Let's go to Mary calling here from Wisconsin. Mary, you're on the air.
I've got a question, and the question is, how do our youth today, or at any age, how are they led to the Holy Spirit, who will lead these children, especially children, and give them strength and courage to know what to do and say? It's the gift of the Spirit, I believe, that gives us the strength to stand up for we believe what's right, with doing it only through love and forgiveness. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Mary. And tell you what, we're out of fairness to Carl, we're just seconds from the break, and it's just starting right now, so we're going to take the break, and we'll talk about the role of the Spirit of God. What role does the Spirit of God have in the life of the believer and equipping them to do the work of the ministry, to know it, to live it, and to share it? We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. The American people have been involved in a systematic process of brainwashing for decades, and yet many of them have no idea. In fact, the majority of Americans have indeed been brainwashed. You think that's hyperbole or sensationalism? Absolutely not. The results are overwhelming. 58% of millennials want to live under some form of socialism. That doesn't happen overnight. That is a systematic process through our educational system, media, and pop culture. Over the next few weeks, I'll bring you our commentaries as we look at how do you brainwash a people? And would you be shocked that it's come from within our educational system, our pop culture, and our media? One way to brainwash a people is to remove leaders. Denigrate leaders and remove leaders and stereotype and marginalize and characterize leaders, particularly men. The brainwashing operation is well underway. Carol Kirby with us here today on Crosstalk, Apologetics, Know It, Live It, Share It. His website is r4h.com. That stands for Reasons for Hope. The letter R, write out four, F-O-R-H.com. And you'll find a lot of information there. You click on store, you'll learn more about the time that's coming up at the Chicago Field Museum in April. You'll learn about the few remaining spots that are left for the dinosaur dig going on in July, and a whole lot of other information about their ministry. Carol, just before the break, the caller was asking about the role of the Spirit even in this whole matter of apologetics.
Yeah, Miss Mary, thank you. It's a great question. The Holy Spirit is the key to changing lives. And I would say that the way that I think she was asking, how is a child introduced to that? I would go back to Proverbs 22:6 and train up a child in the way they should go. So it should start in the home. It should start with mom and dad, pouring into them and teaching them. And I know that that's really hurting in our culture today because there's so many broken homes, but still the first place should be that. Now, another place is, where the church, Lord willing, I travel a lot. I see a lot of churches that are bringing in youth, and they're pouring into them. So I would say that the Holy Spirit, the way that they get introduced to that, is the Holy Spirit is going to work through individuals, work through Miss Mary, with young folks that she has a hand in loving on and teaching. This camp, this father-son camp, we're going to have an opportunity there. So it's going to work through individuals who love the Lord with their heart, soul, mind, strength, who get out and get engaged and become lights in the darkness. And so Holy Spirit's going to work through the body to do it, and I'm hoping that it's mom and dad that's starting there first.
Let's go to John calling from Ontario, Canada. John, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just want to say how much I appreciate apologetics, and creation evangelism is one of my favorite tactics in sharing the Lord with people. The concept of sin is a foreign concept these days. But if we start off with letting people know that they have a creator and that they're accountable to this creator, then we can lead in with who this creator is and the fact that we've sinned against him and how our sin needs to be taken care of. Hmm. And so I appreciate creation evangelism so much for this day and age, especially.
Yeah.
And just appreciate who you have there.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Kirby, and appreciate your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, for listening. Carl, I was just reading over the weekend the passage that says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth," how critical this topic is.
Yeah, and Mr. John, thank you for your kind words. And I'm in firm agreement with you, because what I have found is I got saved in Salt Lake City, Utah, okay? So that's a land of not necessarily Christian, and we should have been just munch meat for people to come in and twist and turn and get us to go a different direction. But when I became so solid in knowing that God's word was God's word, it was true, he created us the way that he said that he did, the reason we see the ugliness that we see isn't his fault. He gave us what he wanted, but he gave us the freedom to make decisions or consequences to the decisions that we make, good and bad. And boy, when I got so solid in that creation component, that really made John 3:16 solid. And I put it like this sometimes: if you can't trust Genesis 1, you'll never sell out for John 3:16, because the whole of the New Testament is predicated on the history of the Old Testament. We want the Christian morality many times, but we don't want the Christian history. And to me, that's impossible, because then it's just, well, your opinion. No, this is an opinion. This is based on the one who's created the institution of marriage, who created life, and that's why these laws should be this way. And so, I am sold out on the creation component. It's what drastically, dramatically changed my life.
We're going to get one last call in. This is Jason calling from Gregory, South Dakota. Jason, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to just say thank you for your program today. It was probably many years ago. We were living in Berga, Michigan, and you know, I was working in a manufacturing plant, and there was 30 other guys there, and every time they'd watch something on the History Channel or something, you know, they would come and beat up on the Christian boy because all he believes in creation or whatever. So I just want to thank your guests and just for all their resources and really everybody that does the Christian, in the creation stuff, because, you know, we have the truth, and that is God's word. And,
yes.
You know, we don't have to give any ground, you know. Christ calls us to be soldiers, and, you know, we don't want to give ground, you know. We have the truth on our side. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason. Carl.
Amen, Jason. And I'm one of those guys as well. I got saved at 27. I was in the military. I was in a very secular place, drinking and all the stuff that went on there. And people would challenge me. And when I was a first Christian, all I had was, well, God loves you. God loves you. That's true. But then after I got involved with ministry and started seeing how to apply my faith in the real world, that it had answers to real issues, my goodness, that changed everything. And now all of a sudden the challenges got very different because it was like, well, how, what do you say about this? Because, again, we don't have to be disrespectful. But I got to the stage where just because you challenge me doesn't mean that I need to be on the defensive because, okay, I'll give you a perfect example, quick one. Well, where did your God come from? If you've got a God that created everything, then who created your God? My response was, I'll answer that when you respond to me, who created your gas? Because Christians and non-Christians both have a creator. Both of them existed for all eternity, have no beginning, have no end. There has to be something that has no beginning, no end. Which one makes the most sense, God or gas? You tell me where your gas came from, and then I'll tell you where my God came from. Mm. And just a challenge to make them think. And then I would come back, and I would tell them what the Scripture says about God. But there are ways that we can gently and straightforwardly challenge people to think.
Yeah, yeah. Jason, thank you for the call. We're out of time today. Carl Kirby is our guest from Reasons for Hope. Carl, just let me ask you this in closing. Are you optimistic? I mean, are we reaching this generation?
Yes, I am optimistic because I know who wins in the end. And my goal in life is to go down swinging. I know how it ends. I know who wins. And regardless of how dark it gets, our God is king. And every opportunity that we get to just share his love and to share the truth, boy, you're going to see results. I'm just saying it. I was so blessed. 2 weeks ago, I'm out. 20-year-olds, Las Vegas, I was speaking out in Las Vegas. 20-year-olds came up to me. We heard you speak 8 years ago, and this is what's happened in our life since then because of those meetings. It's, yes, I am optimistic. I see the negative side. I see the bad stuff. But you know what? I choose to put my focus on God and watch him do the amazing things that he is still doing. He's still transforming lives.
Amen. Amen. Carl Kirby, our guest today. Again, the website is r4h.com. And by the way, if you missed the way in which you could get those debunked videos come through, all you have to do is text the words "stay bold," all as one word, to 51555. Carl, thank you so much for being with us today.
You are such a blessing, Mr. Jim. Thank you, sir.
Carl Kirby with us today from Reasons for Hope. And by the way, if you're in southwest Wisconsin, we'll look forward to having you at the Father-Son Retreat this October. Folks, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.